It's not quite been 2.5 years that Stephanie and I have been here in San Diego. And from time to time, as I'm wandering through the boxes that still sit in the garage, I have flashbacks, not necessarily good ones, about packing before we left. We did not plan very well for that. Stephanie came out early because she was hired in her position. And so I was kind of left packing boxes and sorting through things. And as I was going through things, and that the truck had already come, because we had to do this early, I come across things that I hadn't seen for years upon years upon years, like the magic markers that my mom went out and got when I was 6 years old in a snowstorm because I insisted that I needed them for school the next day. And I still had them in my desk drawer. I still had coffee cups back, 45 years ago that I had packed in a box. I had my super duper mixer thing that ground meat and made slurpees and slushy things that had not been operated in 35 years. And all these things I had moved multiple times, so it was time to let go. It was time to get rid of them. And so the big things were pretty easy. We gave all the good furniture away to people who needed it. The other stuff my sons took, that was a good thing. But every once in a while, I get this little twinge, oh, I wish I had that, or oh, I wish I had that, or oh, I should have brought that. But you can't even imagine or envision the SUV that I rented, that it was packed to the gills. I mean, I couldn't see out the back window. I mean, literally, I was throwing things in, stuffing things in. So, but every once in a while, I go, like I said, I wish I had that, I wish I had that. And then you start thinking, and then what? And then what? And then what's going to happen to them? And so the stuff sits in boxes until the next time, and there's going to be a next time. So anyway, they sit in boxes. So what do you do? That's the dilemma, isn't it? The things that we have. And that's not to say that things are not necessarily, are not necessarily a bad thing, but it's the emphasis, it's the priority, it's the focus, it's the way that we look at them. And so this morning, both the Old Testament and the Gospel together make that point. Now, the lesson from Ecclesiastes is an interesting one. In fact, the entire book of Ecclesiastes is interesting. It was put into the Hebrew canon because of the first two chapters of the book, which were purportedly at least influenced by King Solomon. King Solomon was the great king after King David, who ruled over the country. He was known to be very wise. He was known to be very intellectual, but he was also known to be very compassionate. And so in the first two chapters of Ecclesiastes, he's reflecting on what life is and what the priorities of life are and what the importance of those things are in the larger scheme of creation and therein where we fit in. And so he begins, "I, the preacher, have been a king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my mind to seek and search out wisdom, all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the sons of men to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, striving for wind. I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool." And the paragraph is not in here, but he goes on to enumerate all of the things that he has accumulated, all these lands and gardens and slaves and possessions and all these wonderful things. In other words, he had everything at his disposal in the material sense. Everything that he could ask for or imagine. And he goes on. "So I turned about and gave up my heart to despair over all the toils of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a man who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by a man who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and strain with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of pain, and his work is vexation. Even in the night, his mind does not rest. This also is vanity. But at least the preacher, at least this writer, whether it be Solomon or not, took a step back and was introspect enough to realize, in the end, you can't take it with you. You cannot take it with you. And all that we have here, while it may please us for a time, temporally, eternally, it means very little. What counts in the end is our spiritual relationship with God, which he does not necessarily address. He is pondering in his mind the larger thoughts and the whole understanding of the way the universe works. Enter the gospel this morning, which dovetails and segues beautifully. So there is a man, and he has obviously an inheritance, and he's concerned about divvying it up with somebody else. In other words, he's being covetous, he's being vain, he's being selfish, he's being prideful, he's focusing on things that are temporal, he's focusing on possessions, like my magic markers, like my coffee cups, like those things that I left behind my mixer, that's it. He's focusing on those things and ruminating about all these things and worrying about what he's going to do. Now, in the larger scheme of things, he was very successful. He was obviously a great farmer, a great producer of crops, and he had so many crops and so many goods and so many things, he thought he would go and build new barns, tear the old ones down and put up new barns. I always wonder about those people who rent those storage spaces. Like, what's in those? I mean, I understand if you're moving, after you filled your basement and after you filled your garage, and both of ours were filled, then what else do you need to store? But anyway, he thought that he needed to do that. And so he's going to tear down his barns and build new ones. And he's very proud of himself, very, very proud of himself. He says to himself, now he's speaking to himself, he says, and I will say to my soul, and this is a wonderful conversation, to himself, he's talking to himself. Remember, first person, I will do this, I will do this, and now I'm saying to my soul, I will say to my soul, you have laid up ample goods for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, be merry. And who was it that said, eat, drink, and be merry? Because tomorrow you die, right? Well, I mean, there's a reality in all of that, you know? So let's just party like it's 1999, right? You know that song, right? So, because, you know, it's all vanity anyway. We should just have a good time. Ah, but God said to him, fool, fool. I love that. God said, fool, fool. That's a strong, powerful word. To call somebody a fool in ancient days was a very, very, very nasty thing to say. Soul, this night, your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In other words, all those things, all those possessions, in the end, mean nothing. You can't take them with you. You can enjoy them here. They may give you temporal pleasure. They may even give you happiness, a word you know I'm not fond of, because happiness is temporal. Joy is eternal. Happiness and temporality are fine, but joy in the Lord is deeper and better and more, in the end, pleasing to the soul all over. So all those things, now he has to ponder. You know, he has to ponder and think, and what shall I do? Should I take care of my soul? Or should I take care of my things? What shall I do? Well, there's an offertory sentence that says, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. And you might say, everything comes from God? Oh, no, no, I work. You know, I create this, or I fix this, or I work on this project. That's not from God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because the intellect that God gave you, the strength that God gave you, the cleverness that God gave you, the skills that God gave you, all those gifts, all those good things come from God. You are simply a steward of them for the time that you're in this space and time, in temporality, to use those gifts to build up the kingdom, to do your job, to build good relationships. to make the world a better place, so that God can be glorified, so that God can be honored, so that God can be elevated, and not the things that we think are important. Again, like magic markers and crayons and mixers and things like that. Or maybe you play with bigger toys. Or maybe you missed the second line in the hymn that we just sang about the toys in the world that we play. Did anybody catch that? You know, the temporality, I'm paraphrasing now, of the world, and those toys that we think are important. And those toys can be many, many things. You know, they can be your phone or your pad, your iPad, or your car, or your motorcycle, or I love motorcycles, but your boats or whatever. But those are temporal things. Those are things that amuse us for a time. They're not that which bind us to Almighty God. They're not that which give us that deep sense of contentment and purpose in being one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Ash Wednesday we read from Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel about those hypocrites standing before the people. And they're wailing and lamenting, and they're talking about the tithes that they give and the fasting that they do and the alms that they give and all those things. And Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, you know, lay up not for yourself treasure on earth where moth consume and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure lies, there will your heart be. Where your treasure lies, there will your heart be. Now we could segue into this about stewardship. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, we all want to talk about stewardship. Well, we will at the announcements, but ponder that for a second. Just ponder that. Where your treasure is, there will your heart lie. Our heart lies within the love of Christ, the love of God, that love which is eternal, that love which never ends, and that love that carries us through our lives to the grave and beyond through the power of the resurrection. So may we offer ourselves completely to Almighty God, and may we remember that where our treasure is, there will our heart lie. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.